Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Jenny Moodley, spokesperson for the City Parks and Zoo Johannesburg. A very good morning to you. How are you?
Thank you so much for hosting Joburg City Parks. Yes, great good morning to you too.
So the issue of the homeless is one that's obviously becoming more and more a concern. Yes, we are heading towards warmer weather, but it's been an incredibly cold snap the last couple of weeks, as people have been more impacted by COVID and poverty. Tell us the challenges that you're seeing in terms of the homeless in our community.
So basically, we have in the city of Joburg, we have about 34 cemeteries. I say about because we have a few other smaller cemeteries that were once considered farm cemeteries.
Right.
And then, of course, we have, of those 34, we have about 30 dormant cemeteries. These cemeteries have reached full capacity for primary burial.
Right.
Having said that, because of its dormancy and the nature of visitors by family members and so on, these cemeteries, particularly your Bromfontein and your Brixton Cemetery, are underutilized.
Right.
And this then has created an opportunity for displaced persons, for homeless people, due to mental wellness, drug dependency, and so on, have moved into some of these cemeteries. Now, Brixton, for example, where there's been a lot of media coverage over the last 48 hours, is predominantly we have a community that there's poverty, there's drug dependencies, there's some level of soliciting, there's a high level of recyclers who don't have the resources to go back home, even though home could be Orange Farm, which is in the city of Joburg.
Mm-hmm.
But once you start collecting your bottles and paper and so on, you need to fill that trolley before you catch a taxi back home, and of course you can't take your trolley with you.
Right.
So they prefer Monday to Friday to stay in a space close to where they do their recycling or their collection. So we've got those sort of dynamics playing out in your Brixton and Bromfontein, and this has led to our cemetery, which is a heritage cemetery. It's adjacent to, as you know, the Jewish cemetery to the northern northeast of the cemetery as a whole.
Mm.
You've got old graves. These go back in the 1850s. You've got soldiers that were buried there. You've also got the crematorium, the Hindu crematorium that was unveiled by Mahatma Gandhi himself.
Right.
So there's a high level of heritage in these cemeteries. The challenge, though, for City Parks is we go in fairly regularly, and our last cleanup was on the 28th of July,
right,
is where we go in regularly, collect these materials, clean up, but due to the Pyre Act, we can't really relocate the displaced person. It's a multi-entity, multidisciplinary function, so we need to bring in all these relevant entities to make sure that we appropriately and humanely home people that don't want to be in a shelter.
I mean, isn't this a case where the law might be very good in some circumstances, but it's actually impacting on the very people that you're trying to help here?
To some extent. The City Parks, our mandate is to retain the integrity of all our cemeteries. So from a capacity point, we, on a regular basis, especially seasonally come the summer months, we doing the horticultural maintenance and so on. But from a security perspective, we have a dedicated four-person security at the entrance of Brixton Cemetery. But as you know, the gates have been stolen, some of the fencing has been stolen. So just the breach in the fences has created different access points into the cemetery. And this has led to more and more people that are finding believe it or not, safer to stay in the cemetery. And I know it sounds very bizarre. Safer to stay in the cemetery. They're less likely to be visible and in the eye of safety and security entities like Metro Police and SAP. They also have come together in their numbers, so they've created a sort of camaraderie with the small groups. Our numbers indicate that there are about 30 displaced persons living in one part of the, and then you've got the, should we call them transitional persons that come in and just for a night or two nights, maybe they've missed their taxi or their bus. You know, we've got those sort of stories that we're hearing. So, yes, from a security perspective, it's a huge challenge. Cemeteries, just by its nature, are sprawling massive spaces. So common sense will tell you we can't place security personnel in every 20 square meters of the cemetery. It's just not viable or feasible for an entity like ourselves, especially when you've got over 34 cemeteries to maintain. So the dependency then becomes on how do we manage or piece the heritage issues. The Jewish community maintain, and they do an amazing job managing the older section of Brixton.
Right.
We've got the Chinese community, and by its nature, cemeteries were designated historically
in terms of communities of religion
and race. So the Chinese community recently installed a fence. They came together and did a massive fundraising, put together a fence. We know that the crematorium itself, within the walls of the crematorium, that's very safe. But as you go outside, where people, you know, we go through 9 to 12 cremations per day now with that surge in COVID. So what you're finding is that people are coming, so there's a little bit of income for those displaced persons living where they wash the cars, or they basically take care, they act as car guards. So there's so many dynamics at play, and what we're saying is, you know, it's time for an increased security presence, but it's also an opportune moment to see how we can repurpose some of those pockets of Brixton Cemetery where it can be maximally utilized to benefit everybody. And this could, for the sake of the discussion, include some sort of transitional housing for displaced persons. There are the old buildings that are very dilapidated and neglected on the far end as you come off the entrance of the cemetery. And we think, you know, there's an opportunity here to work with the private sector and see how we can create this transitional housing.
Is there a desire for, you know, and I don't really understand the dynamics that well or what drives the homeless community. Is it pure poverty, or is it as well this issues around drug abuse, people not necessarily wanting anything different, or not necessarily wanting to go and live in a normal environment per se? Do we know who makes up the homeless?
Yes, there's been a number of studies undertaken, particularly during the onset of COVID. We know that, yes, poverty is the underlying factor for most persons, but there's a high level of mental wellness and, like we said, drug dependency, and, of course, underpinned by illegal migrants who are just seeking a better life in the city of Joburg. They get here with their packet of goodies and only find that they got no place to stay. The cost of living is fairly high. Jobs have been lost during COVID. So there's all these sort of dynamics. But we also know that many of these individuals, excluding the illegal, undocumented, displaced persons, they don't prefer the regulation or the regulatory system of shelters.
Right.
In a shelter, you would need to comply. You need to get up at a particular time. You need to go in if you get tested for any drug dependencies. If you do have a drug dependency, you need to get registered on one of the programs. You need to take your medication regularly. So there's all these regulatory issues, and many of persons living for years and years, in public open spaces, such as cemeteries, your parks, particularly along your water bodies, are very nomadic and very transitional. So you'll find that, for example, in the Yuxke River, further up at Alex, we would do a blitz operation and clean up and reinstate the space. And we'd only to find that the following day, people have relocated further up the UK, or basically found an alternate public organization.
All you're doing is moving. Roland says you guys are doing an incredible job at the Bromfontein Cemetery, and the security personnel is very knowledgeable about all the historic anecdotes as well. That's amazing to hear.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think we've got a meeting today. We're glad for all the coverage that has happened. I think, it's an opportune time to start thinking out of the box. How do we deal with this issue? It's not unique to Joburg. You can travel globally in some of your more developed cities like Vancouver. You can go into their part of East Hastings, that's what it's called, one of the streets. Yes. And you will find that every morning the cleaners come out. Displaced persons living in their one-man tents fold up their tent at a particular time. There's a drug rehabilitation clinic fairly close. They go in for their soup kitchen. So it's got all these sort of dynamics. And even though the question is how much resources do you throw to the at the problem when there are other more
High-level
issues.
Linda says, good morning, Mayhem team. The homeless people are building shacks wherever they want. For example, corner Louis Buerta Avenue and Elm Street in Yeovil. That's not acceptable. Please, can you ask Jenny Woodley for an update? I've been trying since 2018 to get a pavement tree trimmed, and I'm getting a runaround. So I think we do have this problem sort of, as you say, sort of just emerging in all sorts of places.
Yeah. Just to give you some good news, that Elm Street I drive past as well, and I know that Joburg Roads Agency, it was quite concerning. The person had installed a bit of a shelter within the pedestrian walkway.
Wow.
And that person has been relocated, and that place has been reinstated. But if I could please have the details for any other concerns, we on trees@jhbcityparks.com. Please mail us your concerns and we'll expedite it where possible.
That's absolutely wonderful. Jenny Woodley, thank you for speaking to us. Spokesperson for City Parks and Zoo in Johannesburg, working very hard to try and keep the city as reasonable as possible.